Miati, Mady.
And we're live with that. ladies and gentlemen, this is Dirt. I'm usually the producer of the show. I only chime in from time to time when people are getting facts like seriously wrong and I have to clear things up. But we're doing a special episode tonight, episode 3. We are introducing a new member of the team. It's going to be Brian and Joshua Mead from now on. And Joshua, how are you doing?
I am doing well, sir. In good spirits.
And you're down in southeastern United States, is that right?
Yes, sir. Georgia.
Wow. Do you watch some film Walking Dead? Because I hear that's what they do.
You know, it is exactly like The Walking Dead.
Please. Especially with the all the bootleg moonshine stills, right?
Exactly. I mean, I have 6 in my backyard. That's how I make my living, is illegal moonshine.
Fair enough. Now, this is Masters of the Galaxy, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but we do tend to talk about He-Man stuff from time to time. Are you familiar with the He-Mans?
The He-Mans are my mans, and the He of the Mans is my main man.
So how did you get into He-Man? I'm guessing just as a child like everybody else?
Well, to explain that, when I was a child, I actually grew up in a very poor part of hello, mic check.
No, you're fine.
Okay. During the Carter administration. As people know, the Carter administration was very hard on the United States. And we were so poor that we actually grew up in a FEMA trailer.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm just gonna jump in for 1 second. Because Joe Amato is always talking about how poor he was growing up and how Masters of the Universe were the only toys he had because that's all he could afford.
Yes.
I think you got him beat. I think you're the first guy that can beat Joe Amato on this.
I was so poor that I know what squirrel and yard onions taste like.
I'm sorry. Did you say yard onions?
Yeah, wild onions that grow in the yard.
I was not aware that that was a thing.
Yeah. You just eat the tops.
So do you cook the yard onions with the squirrel, or are those 2 separate meals?
You can. They're kind of like chives.
Huh. All right,
I just ate them raw.
Huh.
Not the squirrel.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
I mean, I'm not a complete savage.
Back to The Walking Dead.
I gave it a light sear.
Hmm.
Well, but anyway, it came back to that. Small town in West Virginia, we did not have a lot of stuff. Even if we did have money, they just didn't have things to buy. Like, you could get G.I. Joe's, but you couldn't get the good ones. You could get He-Man, but you couldn't get the good ones. You know what I'm saying? The ones that everybody wanted. But I actually, that was the same deal. We couldn't afford anything else. My dad started getting me Black Star toys that stopped happening because, you know, they quit doing the line. And then he started with He-Man stuff. He was a coal miner and, you know, and he got me, we didn't have a lot of money. So he would buy me, you know, for my birthday, I'd get 5 or 6 He-Man. That was a huge birthday. I was like, yeah, He-Man, you know, thinking that I was on top of the world in my little FEMA trailer.
So do you distinctly remember, like, the first time you got any, or is it just you were so young you just remember always having them?
No. I was 4 years old. It was Christmas. My dad had bought me a figure, like the original He-Man figure, and I immediately fell in love with it. And I actually learned how to read by my dad reading me the Bible and reading the mini comics in the back of the He-Man figures. That's how I learned to read.
Hmm.
Yep.
I'm trying to imagine how those 3 you know, all work together to form a worldview. But that's a conversation for another day.
I'm a savage, but I will bless you.
I smite you with my sword by the power of Grayskull.
Yes, yes, I will bless you into it.
Were you a fan of the, you know, cartoon and the movie and everything, or
just the movie actually made me cry?
Because it touched you so deeply on a human level?
Like a Catholic priest. I hated it. It was horrifying to me. I cried because I was so excited about it. And I was so just, you know, Dolph Lundgren was in it, and Dolph Lundgren was in Rocky. And you know, I saw Skeletor, and I was so excited because Skeletor looked badass. And then I watched it. In the first 5 seconds, He-Man uses a laser gun.
Right.
And he doesn't even look like He-Man. He looks like he could have been in Beastmaster, or I religiously watched Barbarian movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that had to do with Barbarians, I watched it. It looked like he could have been anything. Did not look like He-Man.
I just remember being confused when I watched it.
Yeah,
I just remember being in the theater. Because see, when it came out, my sister was having a slumber party. I don't remember if it was her birthday or what the deal was, but we were going to have this house full of girls. And so my parents decided it was best to have me out of the house for most of the evening.
Yeah.
So they took me to the movie theater and dropped me off, and they bought me a ticket to the Garbage Pail Kids movie and Masters of the Universe.
I didn't even know there was a Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Well, that's another one that'll break your heart. But regardless,
I didn't ever liked him. So
I just remember watching the movie and just being confused. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I thought it was, you know, if they had just called it, Galactic Guardians, or, you know, Space Barbarian Adventure or something,
it would have been fine.
Yeah.
It would have been fine.
I'm just watching this going, well, like, I don't see Trapjaw. I don't see Triclops. I don't see Beastman. He doesn't have the big, you know, red cross on his chest. Like, I don't understand any of this.
I wanted to punch Gwildor in his stupid fuzzy face. I wanted to punch, because why?
Well,
why did you need to make another goofy little sidekick?
But, you know, you go back and you look at it now, and you understand that the production company had, like, money, and the people who were making it were trying to do the best that they could, but, things were changed at the last minute, and I don't know if you're familiar with all the stories about how they just shut down filming, so they just, like, get just enough money to put up some floodlights and finish the final battle.
They languished money until they hemorrhaged it, and then they said, nope. The movie was a travesty, and I tried watching it again. And I was thinking, maybe now that I'm older, I can watch it. My wife, who is also a big He-Man fan, through a entire, like, we crunched every episode of the 2000X version,
mm-hmm.
and she loved it. And she's a huge He-Man fan. And she said, getting all excited, oh, there's a He-Man movie? So I was like, yeah, but don't get too excited. Okay, it's different. Well, movies are always different. I'm like, no, honey. Okay, look, I just don't want you to get too excited, right? We went to the same point where I cried. She just picks up the remote, clicks off the TV, just looks sad, looks at me, and just kind of pets my face with this sad, like, I'm so sorry. Like, as much as she knows I love He-Man, she's like, I'm so sorry.
Now I understand why you're quiet every time I bring up the movie. Well, you never want to talk about it.
That faraway look of a man who's seen war.
Now again, you know, the movie by itself, if you don't call it He-Man, I really don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. The movie itself stands on its own. If you don't associate with He-Man, it's not bad. But when you associate something with He-Man, Well, I don't believe, I'm not a purist where I believe that everything needs to be exactly like this. You still have to, it's the difference between the first Ninja Turtle movie that just came out and the second one that just came out, Into the Shadows. The second one come out and it's exactly what the first one should have been. You could watch the second one and never watch the first one and still understand everything that's going on. Bop and Rocksteady.
You know,
let's be honest.
I was
going to standalone movie with Bebop and Rocksteady.
I'm glad you mentioned that actually in a way, because I remember watching the first one. I haven't seen the second one, and I it's, I'm sure it's free on Amazon. I'll get to it at some point, but I remember watching the first one and thinking, like, I think the characterizations of the turtles are fine, and you know, I like the effects. Some people thought they were way too big. Whatever, I thought.
I thought that was fine,
but I thought the story was just so bad. The plot, the actual,
the 1990 movie. If you took it, you put it in a bag, you pissed in it, and then you shoved a bunch of glitter on it. That's exactly what he did.
But I remember watching it and thinking, if you took these characters and put them in a completely different script, it would work.
Yeah.
But I hated the first one also.
Battletoads. It could have made Battletoads with the same exact script.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You could have done Street Sharks. But Ninja Turtles, you need to be respectful of Ninja Turtles.
Well, you know? Although, to be fair, I mean, this is Michael Bay, and he's made four horrible Transformer movies, and they've made like $38 billion worldwide. So what do we
know? Let's put that in perspective. We know it's horrible because we remember the original. People who don't understand what Transformers is really about see it, and it's actually a good movie.
I would even debate. I just think standards are so low, people don't care anymore.
That's true, too. You know, much like internet dating.
Well, but, you know, if you think about it, a movie used to be a big deal. Like you were going to a movie theater to watch a film. This was costing you money. You were taking time, you know, out of your schedule to go. It was an event. Whereas now movies, you know, theater tickets are way down. Everybody streams everything. They've got Netflix. They've got Amazon Prime. They've got unlimited subscriptions. Yeah. And movies are just kind of a throwaway thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw that movie. I watched it once and never thought about it again. As opposed to this is something that's going to stand the test of time that I might watch six or seven times if I really enjoy it.
I would like to point out also that my taste in movies is that I watched Barbarian Brothers and thoroughly enjoyed it. So you really
there's different tastes for
them,
I guess.
Exactly. Sometimes
you like certain movies not because they're good, but because they're bad.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say that. Sometimes something is so bad, it's good. For instance, Last Dragon is so bad that it stands the test of time of classic awesome. It went full circle.
That's pretty much every Chuck Norris movie also.
No, I'm not talking about Chuck Norris. I'm talking about the blaxploitation one. Leroy!
Oh, that one.
That one. The Last Dragon. Not Enter the Dragon. Remember the black guy that was all, he was all obsessed with Bruce Lee and everything?
All right. Well,
you need to rewatch that movie. It's
anyway.
So awesome. All right.
All right. So, did you read the comics, like all the mini comics, the Star comics?
Yes.
Do you read all the stuff from DC?
Actually, we couldn't get them, and we couldn't even get comics in my area. My comics were the little mini comics, and I had a Thor comic. I got lucky and got out of 7-Eleven that my dad worked Hoot Owl at. And for those who don't know, Hoot Owl means night shift. We didn't even get comics. That's how small my town was.
So wait, you had a
7-Eleven? So I cut my teeth.
Your 7-Eleven didn't sell comic books?
Well, they had them sometimes, you know. And I got lucky one time and found a Thor comic with that bent up cover. And I got it. It was like, I don't remember, like 15 cents or something. I don't remember how much they were. And, I my knowledge of cartoon of comics came from those old, remember the cassettes you could get, and it had like the Fantastic Four,
Oh, you
and it
would
had a
read
story,
along
like a
and
couple of Fantastic.
it would do the tone and you'd flip the page.
No, that was all He-Man. That's I had the He-Man stuff like that, but like no, I'm talking about the cassette tape. You know, you had a couple of adventures from Fantastic Four, and then at the end you had a story with Spider-Man, and it was all narrated by Stan Lee. That's my only introduction to comics up until I was probably 10 years old. When I was 10 years old, we were in Berlin, Germany, while the wall was coming down. And we had a shopette there that actually had comics. And that's where I started actually getting comics.
Were you there to see the wall come down, or were you instigating the wall coming down, or how did that work out?
Oh, my dad was in the military, and we
Okay.
went there, and we lived there for 3 years.
Well, that kind of clears things up. I didn't know if you were, like an international spy or something that brings down communist regime.
So, man of mystery.
What, you want to know my secret identity? I'm Batman.
But no, the my dad was in the military, and he got stationed in Berlin. And while we were in Berlin, the wall started coming down. And we, all of the above, we instigated, we helped, we assisted, but we officially weren't allowed to.
Right, of course.
Then there's a lot of stories there I could get into, but we're not here to talk about them.
But you haven't gone back at all, like as an adult, and dug up the comics or anything?
Yes, I have them all. I have what's left of them. They got stolen from me. I had like a bunch of X-Men comics and Avengers comics and stuff that were stolen from me at one point, but whatever's left is actually in a box up in my daughter's room, and I'm waiting till my son's old enough to care about comics. And I'm going to give them to him.
So what do you think about some of the changes that happened in the comics compared to the cartoon and compared to the mini comics that you grew up with?
Okay. To begin with, I'd like to quantify with this with saying that I cut my teeth on Alcala.
Okay.
Or Alcala.
Alcala.
That is the He-Man I started with. The savage guy that punched the shit out of the side of a mountain to make his house. Then the cartoon came out after, I actually started getting, we were so poor we couldn't get cable,
right?
And we had air.
Yeah.
And we finally got a channel that had He-Man on it. And when we did that, I made sure to always keep it, like always memorize where the dial went to tune in. And I would be able to watch Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I cut my teeth on Alcala. So I love the Alcala look. When they did the cartoon, it was so different from the comic that it kind of took me a little while to warm up to it. Because it was like even a different personality.
Well, yeah, it was a lot goofier, whereas Alcala
yes.
was much more of the Conan-inspired.
Yeah, savage. Like, right. I remember one of my favorite story arcs was that He-Man, while still He-Man, had to go tell, this wasn't an Alcala comic, but he had to go tell the king and queen something. He didn't have time to go transform back into Prince Adam, and they trusted him, the king and queen trusted him, so he was just going to march right in. About five or six guards came out, and they were going to stop him. He was going to walk right through them, and Tila had to stop him because she's like, I don't want a bunch of my guards dead. Let him through.
Right.
He was going to just kill him and keep walking. And that was, it's not that I glorify that, it just shows how different mm-hmm. it was,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so to quantify that, to explain that, I have no problem with what they did in the new Eternity War series. I feel like it was a good place. Excellent. I feel like Dan Abnett is a god among men when it comes to sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a lot of his books, so I knew that he was going to make me cry. I knew it before I
liked his Nova stuff. His stuff on Nova was really good. I remember that.
Yeah, and he did Eisenhorn trilogy.
Mm.
And he's a lot like, he will murder your favorite character. It's like Game of Thrones. Oh, you like this character? Let's kill him. But I knew what was coming, so I was ready for it. The problem I had was not with the art style. It was with what Mattel made Pop Man do. See, I've talked to Pop Man. I'm friends with Pop Man. I talked to him about it. It wasn't his decision to do the sword and the armor that way. He was told to do it that way. So
from Mattel,
he didn't have from the creative directors of over the comic book told him he had to do it that way. I'm not going to sit there and throw them under the bus, but I'm not going to allow him to get tossed under the bus.
You know, I've heard a lot of the same type stuff, from different conventions and talking to different creators and stuff about how a lot of what happened in the DC series were top-down decisions, not the creators' decisions. It also,
yes.
If you follow those comics, you look at the credits, they did switch hands several times. Mm-hmm. And so that always creates a problem.
Well, if you notice, after Dan Abnett got a hold of it, the character of Teela became instantly better.
And I did think Eternity War was the best of those DC books. And of course, that was like the end of that run. Everybody had kind of given up on it by then. But then there's the new Masters of the Universe Thundercats. Have you been reading that one?
Haven't gotten to. I'm a truck driver.
Mm.
Go to the local comic shop for reasons that I won't go into here. And so I haven't been able to get my hands on it.
Because it is divisive.
Well, I've heard.
It seems like people either they like it or they absolutely hate it.
From the pictures of the, I will say this. I like that they kept He-Man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they kept Lino. It looks like somebody in art class drew a picture of Lino and He-Man, then used colored pencils to color it in. That's what it looks like to me.
Freddie Williams does everything digitally. You can actually go on YouTube and watch him do art videos where he streams himself drawing and coloring. And that is, he will pencil it, ink it, color it, do the entire page digitally.
Oh, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an artist. Oh, yeah, people don't know. I'm an artist, but I'm not professional. I suck. I just pretend like I'm good at it because it makes me feel better as a person. But I'm an artist. I do a lot of fantasy artwork. I don't know. I can't explain what it is about the art style that doesn't resonate with me. From what I've heard about the story, like I listened to the other podcast, with
Fans of Power.
I listened to them talk about, Joe and Tyler. I listened to what they talk about. Tyler, of course, pissed all over it because Tyler hates everything. Love Tyler. Okay. Don't come beat me up, Tyler. You get excited about stuff. High octane. From what I heard, I didn't have any problems with the story. I didn't have any problems with the writing. I just, you know, it just, the artwork itself on the cover didn't reach out and grab me. And it's nothing against the artist. Everyone has different tastes. Art is art, you know?
Now, moving to the other media of cartoons, we have the Filmation series, and then we have some people call it MYP. I've always called it the 2000X cartoon. What are your feelings on the two of those series?
Adore them. Sanctify them. I love them. My son loves the original show. He sits down and he watches it on Con TV on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing that since he was 3.5. He's now 5 years old. Adores it. And me and my wife, we love the MYP version because the MYP version has a more cohesive story. And it has, you know, a lot of depth to it that you don't necessarily get in the original because there was so much going on in society at the time that they couldn't explore a lot of these aspects of the show. I was really glad to see that in the MYP. Visually speaking, I was not a fan of MYP's representation of He-Man. I hate Prince Adam's voice. It's the same. I know he's famous. He does all kinds of other voices, and I hate it every time he comes on. Every time he does a voice, I hate it. I just detest it. I hate it. But the story itself and the show itself is, and I give it an A++. I love it.
I grew
same
up
thing with the original series, of course.
I want to say I grew up with the original series, and anytime I've tried to go back and watch it, it just doesn't hold up for me, and I have to watch it in that mindset of this is for little kids 30 years ago. If I try to take myself out of that mindset, I just can't. Actually, is it 40 years ago? What decade is this?
No, 30.
Anyway,
I'm not that old, Dan.
But anyway, I love the 2000X series just because in many ways it played off the stuff that you knew from Filmation, but then would throw a wrench into it,
mm-hmm.
loop it some other way. And I love I love story arcs as opposed to just always standalone episodes. So I enjoy, like, now it's when I was a kid, I liked the kid show. Older, I like the more mature show, but I mean, I grew up on the Filmation one, so it's got a special place in my heart, you know. I'll always have a fondness for it, but going back and watching it, I just have a hard time, you know, going back to that.
Well, fortunately for me, I am an eternal child. And I can easily sit and watch Paw Patrol with my son and be into it with him. I'm just like that. And I sit down, I watch every show he watches. Ridiculous it is. My daughter watches this show about mermaids, and I'm into it. You know, I don't know if you have kids, but.
Yeah, I've got a 9 and 11.
I have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and another one in heaven. And it's been a very tough about a year and a half for me. The He-Man thing has been an anchor for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange to talk about because it sounds weird. It's not just He-Man. There's been, you know, my wife and everything, and we've been grieving and everything, but you know, the He-Man, you know, getting into my youth and everything, and my son getting into He-Man and trying to hunt down all the figures for him and all this stuff has been an anchor and a distraction for me, and it's helped me a lot to just keep my head above water.
Now, does he prefer the vintage figures or the 2000X figures?
Man, he don't care. He just loves He-Man. He don't care. He just loves He-Man. It don't matter.
I remember when those 2000 X figures came out and thinking, yeah. You know, these, I remember the thought of thinking these do look, you know, the 5.5 ones were always stuck in that same pose. That, you know, they reuse the same parts all the time. They always had that look like, I don't know, like they're trying to do the spread eagle.
Hunchback.
Yeah. Yeah, with the little squishy heads. And so yeah. The 2000 X figures were always nicer looking figures, but there's something about that classic 5.5 that I just adore. And there are people today still making 5.5 figures beyond you know, Super 7 doing the obvious ones that were San Diego Comic-Con. But like I've got a friend in Chicago that does his own, you know, designer vinyl, as they're called, toys, and he does figures in that 5.5 scale. And I love that size. I love that look to them.
I need to go see him. I go to Chicago all the time.
He's always at C2E2. If you go up there for the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
I never
he works. He works for a group, Nerd City, and his figures are Galaxor and the Lucha Sharks. And it's two different lines. Galaxor is in outer space, and the Lucha Sharks are literally sharks that look like Mexican wrestlers.
Sounds awesome.
But he does all these figures, and I just, like, I'm always in awe of looking at these figures that he, you know, puts together, because he started out doing the basic thing that a lot of the designer vinyls do. They take a He-Man figure, they rip off all the accessories, they sculpt a new head, they put some different stuff on the hands so it, you know, looks different. But then, you know, over the years, as he's grown and gotten better, he's taken that same shape and that same idea, but he sculpted figures completely from scratch in that same vein. And so I just love that 5.5. That's just something that I don't think I'll ever grow out of, because I just love that particular size and that shape of figures.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I love the classics line that have come out, but they're just too expensive for me.
Yeah, I have that problem too.
I can't afford them. I know that I am I'm trying to get to a point where I can come home and stay home for a while. When I can do that, I am going to start restoring the figures, you know, painting them up, fixing their legs, stuff like that. My big problem is I don't have any accessories for most of my figures, like 90% of the figures. I have no accessories. And they've got like wobbly legs, or the legs are completely broken off, and I need to just fix them, you know, with rubber bands and eye hooks.
Right.
And I mean, I agree with you. I love it when people do that. I think it's excellent. I think that guy is doing an excellent job. I think that, you know, people like, you know, Joe Amato have so much talent, and they just get all my respect. I do modeling. I paint figures as a hobby. Battletech and stuff like that, you know, like little pewter figures. So I know how much work it goes into it. And when you can take an actual action figure and make it into an action figure that you can play with, that's just skill. My stuff, I'm like, don't touch it, don't touch it, it'll break. You know?
So if you had to go through everything, you know, every comic incarnation, every cartoon, the movie, each toy line, if you separate the toy line from, you know, the cartoons, what's your favorite incarnation, your favorite version of He-Man to think of when you think of He-Man?
My favorite version to think of He-Man will absolutely have to be first line Alcala Comics, with the beautiful paintings and the big savage battles scenes on the box cart, and the stories about each character on the back, like, you know, where it showed like all the pictures that didn't really represent the figure.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was disappointed with Beastman. I really wanted the red one, like it looked like on the back.
It looked like he was like oversized. And,
where
and
he looked like an orangutan. Yeah, and he had like all the fur everywhere, and he just looked so badass. And then I get this baboon-looking blankety blank, and I'm like, and I agree with you about the way he looked. The art, box art was just better. But I will always love the original Alcala He-Man, the way he looked, the way he was drawn, the way he acted, jerk, but he had a good heart. And you look at, he's kind of a bully. He really, you know, he kind of was mean to Man-at-Arms a little bit.
But that goes back to your
yeah,
love
that's
of
where I
savage
cut my teeth. Yes, I cut my teeth on it.
Yeah.
When I was little, I used to sit there and watch Fire and Ice. I'm 3 years old watching Fire and Ice. Something about me.
I'm gonna guess that's a movie.
It's a movie about.
Okay, I'm looking it up now. Fire and Ice, 1983 film.
Yes.
An animated. Oh, Ralph Bakshi. Okay.
Ralph
or Bakshi.
Yeah, he's a god among men, and he will save us from anime.
I've seen, like, I look at this poster. I've seen this poster, but I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Dude, it's the movie is a must see. It holds up today.
Actually, it's on YouTube.
Yes, it is.
So there you go.
It's not real great. It's like real dark, like somebody took an old VHS tape that was a little bit worn out, you know?
Mm.
I watched that show so much that the VHS tape did wear out and break, melted. I'm sorry, not VHS. We had Betamax. We weren't cool enough for VHS. My mom won a Betamax in a raffle. A microwave oven. Microwave ovens had been out for 20 years by this point. I was wondering why the TV wouldn't turn on. I thought it was a TV.
Did your mom keep the microwave in the living room?
No, it was sitting on the kitchen. I didn't use common sense, okay?
Okay.
Don't judge me.
Well, I mean, you're doing this show, so you can't have any common sense. So,
true. Luckily, I never felt like I needed it. It's brand new, sitting in a box. That's my favorite. I feel like the Dan Abnett story did 100% to it. I felt like Dan Abnett's story, the entire arc from beginning to end to the original, and kept the integrity of the story as it progressed through the ages of our lives, and then expanded on it. And I felt like he respected it. Like a lot of the flack that got thrown at it was not deserved. And I feel like us as a community.
Wait, you just cut out there.
Oh.
You said a lot of the flack that was thrown at it, and then it just went.
Was silent. Not deserved.
Okay.
And we as a community, okay? I belong to several different fandoms, and what this one has in common with my other favorite fandom is that the hardcore originalists don't want anything to change. And anything that changes, even a little bit, they come out savagely against it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the negativity that comes from it will drive new people who would otherwise get into this fandom and enjoy it away. Because they people don't want to come in and just hear a bunch of bitching.
Well, yeah, especially if they think, oh, this is something kind of new to me. I wonder, you know, what this is like. I wonder what's going on. Is this something worth looking into? And then you do a Google search and all you see are people
tearing each other apart.
Right.
And I'm the kind of guy, you know, I will talk to you. I will argue with you. Not argue. I'll discuss. I don't argue.
Right.
I don't like arguing.
It's a fine line sometimes, though.
Yes, it is. I will discuss. Me and my wife never argue. We don't. We sit down, we discuss it, and we come to a conclusion as to why she's right. But we never argue. And because I can't. Because my temper is too hot, and I won't allow myself to argue. I will walk away from it. And what I have seen is some of the nastiest, most hateful, just tearing each other apart. And what they don't understand is if you would just come at me respectfully and talk to me, I would have a 10, 20 day long conversation. I would have the conversation for a month and a half with you if you're respectful with me. But when you start insulting me, insulting my intelligence, insulting my maturity, things like that, I just...
Well, and it's why would you even
just walk away?
Why would you even want to be engaged in these people when they're going to just keep throwing, you know, childish insults and stuff around? So, all right. So,
well, you've probably seen it.
Yeah. Oh, on the forums. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it in everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've seen me walk away from
it. It's not just Masters of the Universe where this happens. This is every fandom. Really.
Everything.
Yeah.
But Masters of the Universe can be the hardest of most of the fandoms that I've seen.
All you have to do is in the middle of any conversation, just mention something about how you never liked Princess of Power.
Oh, Lordy. I would rather not cause a nuclear bomb to go off.
So, so speaking of hurricanes, no. to wrap up, let's just quickly... as some final thoughts here, as we move forward, wrapping up this year, next year is going to begin the era of Super 7. And what we've seen from Super 7 is repackaging those, the ultimate versions of the figures. We're seeing those reaction style 3.75 retro figures. And then we're also seeing the return of 5.5s. With the three terrors, but I mean, it's probably safe to assume that we're going to see more of those coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
What is there anything specifically you want to look forward to that you're hoping Super 7 is going to come to? Is there anything specific that you've seen that you completely marked out for that you're you can't wait to get your hands on that they're doing? Or is there anything that you are particularly worried about with Super 7 and some of the stuff they're doing?
Let me be honest with you. I'm not worried about Super 7 at all. They have consistently shown that they do quality work. They are fans. They respect the genre. They want this to become mainstream again. They're not doing it just to make money. They're in it to make money, but they're not just doing it to make money. They're doing it because they're fans. And I love anything Teela related. Boo. And anybody who wants to talk about Teela can meet me in back. I love Teela. And she the rendition of Teela from the beginning was what began how I see the human body was Teela. And how it does not jive with all these skinny little perfect people. You know, she had big hips. Big butt. She wasn't, you know, massive chested, but and she was strong. She was solid. She was built. She was powerful. And this caused me to see women in a light. Tila's character sought made me see women in a light growing up of something other than a weak, frail little child that needs to be protected, but as a woman who can protect herself, you know? So Tila has a special place in my heart. So what I'm really excited about and what I really want to see is more Tila stuff. But I'd like to see Tila in a way that is Tila, not the teenage Tila, not the, you know, bodybuilder Tila, but Tila the way I remember her. And if I could see that, I would be extremely happy. And I would need a box of tissues, and you wouldn't see me for a while, but I would be happy.
Well, that is the perfect note to wrap things up with there.
I try. I also apologize if I went off the topic too much and everything. I get excited.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to get it out there so everybody understands where you're coming from. So
I try, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to thank you, Joshua, for joining us. Next week, Brian supposed to be back. He's had some issues these last couple weeks, and so we're bringing you here onto the show. And next week, it'll be you and Brian busting down the history of He-Man and some of the changes over the years that have gone through. But of course, Brian always likes to talk about the latest news and rumors, so you guys can listen.
No problem with that.
Also, guys, don't forget, we do have a 24-hour voicemail line. You can always leave us voicemail messages. It's area code 217-953-4025. You can leave your message there. Some of them, if they fit within time constraints and do not have any harsh swearing in them, then sometimes we even play them on the air. So there's something to keep in mind. So again, thanks for listening, everybody out there. Josh, thanks for joining us. And everybody else, don't forget, Masters of the Galaxy. You can find us on Facebook. There's the Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Also, we are part of the Pop Culture Network. Go to popculturenetwork.com or thatnewtoysmell.com, which is part of the Pop Culture Network. And that's going to be it for me, Dirt, and Joshua. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all have a good day.